Our gospel reading for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." We give you thanks, O God, for the gift of these children among us, who help us to see with new eyes and discover your gifts every day. Bless them as they begin their school or their daycare or their new activities this fall. Be with them and sustain them that they might grow in the knowledge that they are your beloved children. May we grow in our knowledge through baptism that we are your beloved as well. And help us to encounter your promises today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of my favorite movies is called A River Runs Through It. Has anybody seen that movie? It's been a little while. It came out in 1992, and it was directed by Robert Redford, and it stars a young Brad Pitt. And I watch it probably at least once a year. And it's based on the acclaimed short story of the same name by Norman MacLean, who had been a professor at the University of Chicago. And although I've seen the movie many, many times, I finally read the short story itself this summer. And I think, in part, I read it to better understand why this story continues to have such a hold on me after all these years. The story is inspired by MacLean's growing up in Montana, and it tells the story of two brothers, Norman and Paul, sons of a Scottish Presbyterian minister, and a family where, he says, there was no clear line between religion and fly fishing. He says, "In a typical week of our childhood, Paul and I probably received as many hours of instruction in fly fishing as we did in all other spiritual matters. My father was very sure about certain matters pertaining to the universe. To him, all good things, trout as well as eternal salvation, come by grace, and grace comes by art. And art does not come easy." They lived in Missoula, Montana, and usually fly fished the big Blackfoot River, which he says they considered their family river. And most of the book takes place on that or another river, and all these rivers run through their lives together. The river was a place for them to connect to nature and to each other, a place of beauty and artistry, humor and tragedy, freedom and memory and love. They learn just as much about life from the river and fly fishing as just about anything else. They learned about themselves, about each other, about the realities of life, both harsh and beautiful. As we celebrate our baptismal festival today, there's a moment in the story, but not in the movie, that stands out. Norman approaches his father on the shore of the river while his brother is fishing, and his father is reading from the Bible. And Norman says, "Then my father told me, in the part I was reading, it says the word was in the beginning, and that's right. I used to think water was first, but if you listen carefully, you will hear that the words are underneath the water." "That's just because you were a preacher first and then a fisherman," I told him. "No," my father said, "you are not listening carefully. The water runs over the words." His father gets up, and Norman says, "I looked to see where the book was left open and knew just enough Greek to recognize the Greek word logos, the word." Today we celebrate the gift of water and the word as we baptize Abigail Mays and Colby Kelly at this service and Elliot Wright's at the 10:30 service. And we remember how the waters of baptism run over the word of God. It was Luther in his small catechism who said, "Baptism is not simply plain water, Instead, it is water used according to God's command and connected with God's word. Clearly, the water does not do it, but the word of God, which is with and alongside the water, and faith, which trusts this word of God in the water. For without the word of God, the water is plain water and not a baptism. But with the word of God, it is a baptism. That is, a grace-filled water of life and a bath of new birth in the Holy Spirit, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out into us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The water and the word together are what makes baptism, baptism. Baptism is the river that runs through our entire lives and through all our seasons, our transitions and beginnings and endings, our trials and travails, our joys and sorrows, and at last bring us to everlasting life. These waters remind us who we are, who we're called to be, and propel us in love of God and service to others. Baptism is the river that runs through this community of faith, flowing in and around us, healing and blessing us, connecting us, loving us, enabling in the fulfillment of the law and scripture to love God and love our neighbors, to make possible the reconciliation and forgiveness in our gospel, and to ensure that where two or three are gathered, God is there. This baptismal runs through and in and around and over and under us with that grace-filled water of life. It is a gift every time we have a baptism to step back into that river, to feel the flow of the water on our toes and feet, to be reminded of who and whose we are. As you may know, I just returned from vacation, and we were at my in-law's summer cottage on Lac Saint-Germain in Quebec. And the waters of that lake tell the story of our family's life. Summer after summer, from kids in swim diapers, who are now in college, jumping off the dock, paddling in canoes, exploring the islands on the lake, kids and parents and grandparents and old friends. There are painted wooden signs with memories of homespun lake Olympics and lake regattas and swim times from swims out to the rock bar not far from our dock. Nearly 40 years and three generations of memories in that water on the lake. And we have friends from Winnipeg that we see there every summer, and they have a cottage just a couple down from us, and they have kids our age. In fact, their mom and my wife Jenny grew up together themselves at the cottage. And the dad makes a video to commemorate each summer. And one night we did a movie marathon, and we watched all the videos that he's made of our summers going back to 2014. And we watched our kids and our parents and ourselves grow older year by year. We saw our dogs, our old dogs and present dogs. There were trips into town and excursions into the Quebec countryside, but really, it was the water. It was the water that ran through all of it. Each summer, as we gather at the lake, we are brought back to ourselves, back to each other, rebaptized, in a sense, in the clear, spring-fed, grace-filled waters of the lake. And so it is for us. In this font, in this water, soaked in the words and the promises of God. My favorite part of the whole rite of baptism is the part where we bless these waters. Some people call it the water prayer. And you will hear in that prayer, which we will say back and forth together, how we recount how God has used water to bring about salvation through all of history, beginning in creation and then Noah and the flood and parting of the Red Sea and the baptism of Jesus himself. And then at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it says that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God uses these waters from the very beginning to the very end to bring about hope, blessing, and salvation. And as I say to parents at baptism, these children become grafted into this story, the story of the water and the word, the story of the people of God. Today we celebrate that Abigail, Colby, and Elliot are joining the story and joining us in these grace-filled waters. Finally, at the end of A River Runs Through It, Norman reflects back on his life and experiences. He's much older, and he closes the story with this, and I'll just read this to close. He says, "Nearly all those I loved and did not understand when I was young are dead, but I still reach out to them. Of course, now I am too old to be much of a fisherman, and now, of course, I usually fish the big waters alone, although some friends think I shouldn't. I often do not start fishing until the cool of the evening. And then in the Arctic half-light of the canyon, all existence fades to a being with my soul. And memories and sounds of the big Blackfoot River in a four-count rhythm and the hope that a fish will rise. Eventually, all things merge into one, and a river runs through it. The river was cut by the world's great flood and runs over the rocks from the basement of time. On some of the rocks are timeless raindrops. Under the rocks and the water are the words. Amen."